Well, first of all, I'd like to say it does my heart good to see my sister Mary and my brother-in-law Fred here. I've known them a long time. And they've actually known me probably more than I've known them. They're older. But that's good. It does my heart good. This morning, I want to speak on faith. But I think really this morning I'm speaking to myself more than anyone. Every once in a while, we need a good dose of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Do you have some evidence of things that you don't see? Are you carrying around something that you don't see yet, but you know that you have it? That's faith. Are you needing a healing? You know that the Word of God says that you are healed. It's already done. It's already been provided for. But you're not walking in the fullness of that. You're not walking in the victory of that yet. Believe me. Keep your eye on Him. It will manifest. It will manifest. Are you in a place where you need relationships fixed and changed? You want them. But you're not walking in the fullness of that yet. Keep your eyes on the Lord because you will have them. Are you in a place where financially you're in lack? Keep your eyes on Him. The Bible is very clear, and if this is a revelation or not to you, it was to me. But God has really went deeper to me in terms of this particular part of faith. And this is it. It's very simple. It's God's power, but it's your faith. It is God's power, but it is your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by getting into the presence of God and letting Him impart to you His very character. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The word faith, to have faith in something, means that you trust in, you cling to, and you rely on. Do you trust in, do you cling to, and do you rely on God for your needs? Are you walking in financial lack? And there's no manifestation of excess or prosperity. You need to keep your eyes on Him. He will keep you in perfect peace. And remember, it's His power, but your faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to build up our faith, whether it's financial lack we have, whether it's a healing that we need. And believe me, I'm believing for a healing. I'm speaking to myself. Believe me, I'm believing for a prosperous future. But there's some elements that are involved in faith here. Now I'll get to that in a minute. But like I said, this message is basically more for me than it is for you. Although if you can glean from it, go ahead, bless you. The other night, I was just walking down the hall in my house, and God says, I want you to go to the Word, you know. He didn't say, I want you to go to the Word. He doesn't speak to me like that. But the impression came, go to your Bible. And so when I did, I just took the Bible and it opened up, and rarely this happens, but when it does, I know it's God. So I have to pay attention. And it opened up to Mark 11, verse 20, where basically it says, have faith in God, period. It goes on. It says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say will come to pass, you will have the things you say. But he didn't take me that far because I thought, well, I should study the whole text. The thing that he was saying was, have faith in God. There's some situations and circumstances that we're all going through. But I believe God for the answer. Do you believe God for an answer today, or are you just moving along? Do you trust Him? Do you cling to Him? Do you rely on Him? Do you believe Him? Do you support Him in terms of what He is, what He has said, and all that He stands for? Do you have to get up every morning and work up an excitement to put your shoes on and start the day? Maybe then, if that's happening, especially Sunday mornings, by the way, we all know that. In ministry and having to be there as a pastor, you have to fight this, but you need to begin maybe this Sunday for next. Sometimes we see pastors come up here and they are smiling and all the rest of it, but we don't know the warfare and the crap that they have gone through all week to get there to smile. They're not immune to problems and situations and circumstances. In fact, they may have a little more than what you have. But they have to come here and stand here and be solid in faith and speak the word of God to raise you up. Well, that's not for everybody. But that's for a lot of people. Life throws all of us many rough curves. It's how we deal with them and what we do with them. Lately, I've been bouncing. I feel like I've been in a tornado for months. But fortunately, every once in a while, I land on my feet and I say, let's go on. Let's move on to the next thing. It's not just you. It's all of us. We're going through like a knothole backwards. I'm being tested in areas that I never thought could even imagine. But God is there. God is faithful. God is with us. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 1 and 17 says, according to your faith, basically I'm paraphrasing, but the Lord Jesus Christ will live in your heart. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about after you're saved, after you're walking with God, He'll live in your heart in terms of strength based on how much you allow Him to live there. He'll come in and settle in you based on you allowing Him. You can walk a weak walk, W-E-A-K, or you can walk a strong walk, or you can be on your way. And I think many of us are on our way. The Bible talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I want to go for the 100-fold. I think it's fairly easy living with 30-fold. We can compromise. We can walk around angry all the time. We can walk around sick and defeated all the time and still be going to heaven. The 60-fold, though, you move into another area where you start surrendering a bit more. You start giving up your own rights a little more. But to walk in 100% means that you have to totally surrender. Total obedience is the way to go. But if you don't totally obey, you're not walking in faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. I want to show you something in Scripture this morning about a couple of guys. One was Thomas and one was Abraham. And we've preached this for years, for decades. But God is bringing something new out in me concerning this faith walk. I know faith works by love. I know that. We must love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we must love our neighbor by ourselves. The Ten Commandments are first, I'm the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. Second, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Third, thou shalt remember to keep the Lord's day holy. Fourth, now first of all, them three are connected to you and God. You need to study them out. You need to walk by them. You might say, well, that was what Moses gave to the Israelites, but it's still the same. In fact, it's even more so because now it's placed in our heart and on our minds. Then it was placed on tablet and you had to walk according to what was said. It wasn't placed in their heart. It wasn't in their mind because they were not born again. No one was born again till Jesus came, walked in the earth, died, and rose again. He is the firstborn of all of us. And so the way to get to the Father is through Christ, period. They were not born again, but they had to live by the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, and if they were guilty in one thing, they were guilty of it all. That's why Christ came. To redeem us from that curse. The curse of the law. The curse because we could not walk and live by the Ten Commandments without the help of God. Period. So, that's the first three. The next seven starts with fellow man. First is honor thy father and thy mother. Why? Because this is the promise, the first promise, the first commandment rather, with a promise. What will it be? You'll be prosperous and you'll live long on this earth. There's a lot of blessings in living long. God does not want you to live at six, so it's very important to honor your father and mother. when my father was alive, I told him things. I said, Dad, I love you. I said, I'm a success because of who you are. I told him, I honored him. I know that the things that he asked for, my sister Mary honored him. He said at a funeral one time, some years ago, he said to my sister Mary, he says, just like this, this is what I want. And I seen my sister stop her life and do what my dad had requested her to do. And she did a great job. She finished it. And my dad is happy. I know he's happy. But Mary can say, yes, I've done that. I've done what he asked me. I've honored my father, and she honors her mother. She takes care of her mother. Amen? So that's the start of honoring father and mother. That's the start with this way. Second one is thou shalt not kill, which is the fifth really. The sixth is thou shalt not commit adultery. Seven, thou shalt not steal. Eight, thou shalt not bear false witness. Quit lying. Quit lying, man. A little white lie is a lie. Nine, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Ten, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. It's been a while since I said them, so. But the first is from your relationship between you and God. And the second part is the relationship between you and your fellow man. And Jesus confirms that over in Mark chapter 12 and Matthew 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what it means. He was fulfilling and confirming the commandments that Moses had talked to the Israelites about way back there a few thousand years ago. In the Amplified Version, when God said, have faith in God, he was telling me to trust him, to cling to him, and rely on him. The Amplified Version says, constantly, continually, don't let your guard down. Have faith in, trust in, cling to, and rely on God constantly. God always speaks the truth because he is the truth. While Jesus praying to the Father, he said, thy word is truth. You can take God's word to the bank of eternity, and cash it in any time you want. The problem is that we don't get it because a lot of us, honestly, if the truth is known, we don't spend enough time with him to walk away filled with faith. Because I know this. I know that the flesh, just before we break through, it stops. That's when you got to push on. And that's in everything. The mind wanders while even worshiping God, while even in his word, while even meditating in his word. And if you're not careful, you'll go. You'll leave the word and you'll go. You'll go do whatever it is that your mind is telling you to do. But we talk a lot about that. God always speaks the truth. Now, there are two kinds of truth if you want to get technical. First of all, God's truth, which is absolute. Secondly, there's the earthly truth, the sense truth. Where if a doctor comes along and says, you have a disease, well, he's probably right. You probably do. But then there's God's truth that says, I have made provision for that sickness. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Every sickness and every disease that was here, he took on the cross. Then he said, it is finished. In the word, Isaiah 53, it says he died for our sins. He took all that sins on his body at the cross. And so if he did that, then if we are redeemed from it, then we should walk in it, or at least learn to walk in it. But man comes along and says, well, you have a sickness and this and that, and you're going to die and this and that. Before you know it, you've got 18 pills that you're taking. Am I against doctors? No, not completely, but for a lot of the part, yes, I am. Other than two doctors that I know that are Christian people, one in Ottawa, Canada, and one here. Now, I know there's more, but I don't know them. I know them personally. They're the only two doctors that ever bring God into the situation. Other ones have always, if they've diagnosed something, said, why are you going to do this? Amputation is coming. Or you're sick. Be careful of this. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. You're going to do this. And when they say that, if I'm there, I just look at them and say, well, yeah, what's the catch? What's the catch? Where is the God factor in this? They don't have any. They'll give you some pills and send you on. You feel like, huh, what just happened? So there's the truth of God, but then there's the sense faith. That's the faith, to be honest, that a lot of Christians are moving into. They're becoming weak in faith, little by little by little by little. Before we know it, they're not walking in faith at all. And here's a problem. I've seen this over and over. I've seen many, many Christians, and all their confession, by 1 minute confessing one thing, and instantly confessing the negative. And I think, I don't understand that. I've done it. We've all done it. But as a practice, people do that constantly. They do it all the time. So on one hand, they're saying, I believe God, I believe Jesus Christ, and I believe everything He stands for. But over here, I believe the doctor, the lawyer, the banker, whoever it is, I believe in him more. He says, no, it's no. He says, I'm sick, I'm sick. So there's a sense knowledge. And Christians, we bought into that. It's a lie. It is a lie. Okay, it's true in terms of what they're saying. But there's another truth. There's a more solid truth. There's a more absolute truth. Jesus says, I'm come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That doesn't mean in heaven. We're not going to need the abundant life in heaven. We're always going to be in it. We need the abundant here and now. The senses believe, okay, believe, trust in, cling to, and rely on. So the senses believe in what they can hear and feel. 2 Corinthians 5 says we walk by sight and not by faith. That's easy to do. We feel something, we walk by that. We see something, we walk by that. The two guys that I was mentioning earlier, Thomas and Abraham, Thomas walked by sight. After Jesus died, he went to visit the disciples. You'll find this in John chapter 20. And he came into where they were. He just came in through the walls. And he said, peace be to you. And he showed them his body. I mean, they were sitting there. They were afraid. They had sold out for the last 3.5 years with him, walked with him. Everybody knew who they were now. They probably figured that, hey, I'm next. They're coming to get us. They're going to kill us. A slow death, a painful death. Maybe the capital punishment of crucifixion. So they were sitting there, and Jesus walks in. He says, peace be unto you. Don't be afraid. He leaves. Thomas wasn't there at that particular time, so Thomas comes back later. And he said, we've seen the Lord. Thomas says, well, I don't know. He's working on his senses. He's saying, unless I see him myself, unless I see the nail print in his hand, unless I can put my finger into his nail print, and unless I can take my hand and stick it in his side, I won't believe. So Jesus, being the kind of person he is, he shows up again. He says, Thomas, come here. He says, look at my hand. So I'm sure I can imagine that you can. The look on Thomas's face. Because he looked at his hand, he put his finger in his hand, he put his hand in his side, he fell to his knees, said, my Lord and my God. But here's the catch. Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and who have not seen. Blessed means to walk in a happy walk. To walk in the favor of God. To walk in prosperity. And I'm not only talking finances. That's what that word blessed means. So Jesus says, for us who have believed, blessed are you. So be able to walk in that favor. Walk in that blessing. In terms of what Jesus had said. So if Jesus said it, why aren't we doing it? Excuse me. And I know we live in a world that's under the sway of the enemy. If we're not fighting the enemy, we're fighting our stubborn flesh. And if we're not fighting our stubborn flesh, then we're fighting the world and the world system. The world system is totally set up contrary to the system of the kingdom of God. Period. The other guy was Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 17. Now listen to this. Abraham was 100 years old. He was impotent. Past the stage of baby making. Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old. Her womb, the Bible says, was dead. But God said to him, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So he was 100 years old and she was 90. But the Bible says he was not weak in faith. He did not doubt what God had said. There's a B part to this. I'm going to tell you. He did not doubt. And it came to pass that Sarah conceived. Even at that age, God calls those things that be not as though they were. That's what that says. Abraham believed in spite of him knowing that he was dead. We need to believe in spite. We may think we have a disease. We need to believe. We need to trust in, rely on, and cling to. The B part of it is this. God says, well, I want you to make an act sacrifice. So who shall I sacrifice? Well, take your young boy, Isaac. This is after he's born. He takes Isaac up on the altar and he's just about to stab him and an angel stops him. Abraham, through all the promises that God had said, through the fact that he had a child of his old age, knowing that he will not have another one, he knew that even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him up. That's how much faith he had. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. He didn't walk by sight. So put yourself in his position. He walked by faith, and it was accounted to him as unto righteousness, and he was a friend of God. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Period. Because God is a faith God. There's a couple of the scriptures here I'd like to share with you. I'm not going to do a long message this morning. Sense knowledge is always limited, and no man has perfect sense knowledge, no matter how smart they are. But the Word of God is perfect, and it is perfect revelation to us. It meets every crisis, and it meets all our needs in every area of our life. There's some elements of faith here that we need to understand. There are more, but I'll give you three. Number one is a firm conviction, producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation or truth. We need a firm conviction. We need to acknowledge solidly that God is who He says He is and that His Word is true. No matter what happens, if you apply something solid like God's Word to something temporary, if you apply His Word to a sickness, something will give. And it will not be the Word. Number two, a personal surrender to Him. And number three, a conduct inspired by a personal surrender. So you got two kinds of faith, so to speak, the sense faith and the heart faith. We talked about Thomas, we talked about Abraham. We talked about the word faith, meaning trust, cling, and rely. I said this before, but I'll say it again. To fully believe is to fully obey. And to not believe is to not obey. We need to surrender our rights. When you enter the army, you surrender your rights. If you go to a jail prison, you surrender your rights. You do what they say. You get up when they tell you to get up. You eat when they tell you to eat or you don't eat. Sometimes they make you. You eat what they tell you to eat. You go to bed when they tell you to go to bed. You go and do this when they tell you to do this. And that's the way we need to be in the kingdom of God. The difference is, though, is that God gave His Son for us, so why not follow Him and do all that and surrender our rights? But over here, it's probably because if it's jail or something, it's probably because we've done something wrong. We're getting payback. Over here, we're doing it because we love God and we want to promote His kingdom. One thing about the enemy. If he can get you down and get you walking in a weak state, he's won. But what he's really won is, he's won against the Lord. On the road to Damascus, when the Lord appeared to Paul, Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul wasn't persecuting him knowingly. He was going after all the Christians to imprison them. But if you want to get to the Lord, you go after His people. Bring them down. Imprison them. That's the way you hurt the Lord. But today, Christians are walking around in an apathetic state, in a weak state, and here's the situation. They are deceived, a lot of them. The problem is, they don't know it. The thing about deception is, you don't know you're deceived. That's the whole thing of it. It's like pride. When you're walking in pride, you don't know it. You think you've arrived. I'll tell you something about the Christian faith. You don't ever arrive. You keep going on. Most Christians I know are teachable. And most of them are correctable, but there are some that you can teach till the sun goes down, but correct them, forget it. They'll fly off the handle. They'll come at you in every which way. They'll try to crucify you in the name of God. We must be teachable, but we have to be correctable. In this day and age, where there are so many things, if you just take a look at what's out there, everything, most everything, not everything, everything, mostly, is geared to the flesh. Entertainment, larger TVs, bigger phones, do this, do that, bigger cars, all the rest of it. They're fun. Let's enjoy them. But let not them have us. Let's use that system to promote the kingdom of God. That's fair. But the people who are deceived don't even know it. And that's the problem. You can look in the mirror, think you're doing all right, but yet be deceived. Sad thing, isn't it? Have you ever come to a point in your life where maybe your dreams are shattered? Maybe the things that you hoped for and wanted, you are not realizing. Think about that. It's like the little carrot in front of your face. And every time you move a little bit, it keeps moving over and over and over. And you never realize or possess the thing that you hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we've hoped for this. We've had the vision of this. We've been excited about it being a Christian. And say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But every time we get close, boom, it moves over. That'll leave us very frustrated. But we have to begin to study and read the Word. Study to show thyself approved, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. A lot of us can take a scripture out of here and a scripture out of there and a scripture out of here. Say, this is how I walk. But really, it doesn't do anything for you because you've taken it out of the text. If you really look at it and study it, it's probably something that is really far away from what you believe in. Not all the time, of course. But a lot of times. And we say, well, that's going to bless us. I'm walking by Scripture. Lord, how come you're not blessing me? How come this is happening? I walk by this. I do this. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I don't have any major sin in my life. Maybe you need to surrender more. Maybe you need to submit more. And I mean submit in the right sense. And that is maybe sell out. The language of the sense is, I can't, I don't have the ability, I don't have the opportunity, I have no education, I have been limited, I have been limited, I have been limited. But the language of faith says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:37, I'm more than a conqueror. Ephesians 2:6 says he may be sitting in heavenly places in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says all the promises in him are yes and in him amen. 1 John 4:4 says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Romans 11:8-11 says if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken my mortal body. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, if I'm in Christ, he has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Righteousness means that you're able to walk in the presence of a holy God without the sense of any shame, guilt, fear, or inferiority. He who knew no sin, God made him to become sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's right standing. So we need to take our faith because we are sons and daughters of God and walk into the throne of grace and say, Father, forgive me if I've done anything wrong, but I'm here. Here's what we need to do. I'm on your team. I submit and I surrender to you. What do you want on this earth today? How can I promote your kingdom today? It's not about me, it's about you. I was going to give some scripture references here, but I'll give the references, but I won't go into the scriptures because I want us all to say a little prayer. But all through the Bible, out of all the cases of the Lord walking on this earth, for example, Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if only I could get to him, if only I could get in his presence, I'll be healed. And that's okay. There's nothing too big about that. But in them days, women were not allowed to do that. So, she took her life in her hands. But after 12 years, she had no more money left. She said, this is it. Did you ever get to the end of your rope? No money left? But you need something? So she went up to Jesus. She touched him. Instantly, Jesus said, who touched me? He knew that virtue went out of him. That's the other thing. The power of God went out of Jesus because of her faith. It was her faith that made her well, Jesus says in verse 34. He says, woman, thy faith has made you well. But it was the virtue or the power of God that went through him into her. So it's God's power, but it's our faith. We must build up our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Another one is Matthew chapter 9. There was a couple of blind guys there. And they were healed. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. God's power, their faith. Luke 17, the 10 lepers. 10 of them were healed. They yelled at a distance because the lepers were not able, they were not supposed to go near people and towns and so on. They were outcasts. So 10 lepers were standing there and they yelled over to Jesus, can you heal us? Have mercy on us. So Jesus healed them. The Bible says they were healed as they went. By the way, healing doesn't always come like that. Because they were healed as they went. Sometimes healing takes time. Healing is a process. Sometimes God says to us, hey, you shouldn't be eating that. You should be doing that. You should be doing that. I'll heal you. Yes, the healing is there because I've already made provision for the healing. That's why they were healed. The healing provision was already there. But Jesus said, thy faith has made you whole. You might say, well, that's Jesus. But Paul the Apostle over in Acts chapter 14, he was preaching. What was he preaching? The Word. The Word. He was preaching faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Verse 10, 11, and 12 says, actually verse 9 too. As he was preaching the Word of God, he noticed that one guy was sitting there. He was crippled from his mother's birth. Now, in terms of a healing ministry or a healing miracle, which that's what it was, not only would he get healed, But he would also have to have his bones strengthened. He'd never walked on it since birth. So he was sitting there, and as Paul was preaching the word of God, he stopped and he said, I perceive that you have faith. The guy said, yeah. He jumped up and started running around. It was the power of God through Paul that hit him and healed him. But it was the man's faith. Now let me say this. Almost in closing. I've seen young baby Christians get healed, bang, just like that. I've seen unbelievers get healed, just like that. But once we're walking in the faith, and once we should have some maturity on us, God is using all of this to mature us. He doesn't bring it on you. No father or mother is going to bring a sickness on their kid. I'm not saying that. But if you've walked in that way and if you've picked something up, God is going to say, here's what you need to do. I want you to discipline yourself. And healing becomes a process for us Christians who have been walking with the Lord for any period of time. Period. And I know there's men who move and women who move in ministry and they'll lay their hands on you and bang, you'll be healed. And that's good. Praise God for that. Love him or hate him. Benny Hinn. Back when we were just young kids, we used to go to the same church here in Toronto. You'd look at him and you'd think, what is this guy? His ministry was not big at that time. He wasn't married. He didn't even drive a car. There was times I had to drive him home because he lived in Markham. I'm a year older than him. I had a license. I had a car. I was married, blah, 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 all the rest of it. But before you knew it, God began to use him. And love him or hate him, he's still in ministry. He's still laying his hands on the sick, and they are recovering. But that's not the way that you're going to get healed as a Christian. It may be, but that's not the only way. The main way, I'm telling you, is this. To get your nose into the Word, begin to raise your faith level, build up your inner man, and receive for yourself. So in closing, I'm going to ask you all to stand. You want to close your eyes? Fine. But I know because we're in human body form, we either have or we're going through or we will be going through some situation or some problem. Whether it's financial lack, whether it's a healing that we need, whether it's a loved one that needs to be saved, whether it's someone who needs deliverance. You can pray your own prayer, but basically this is a safe prayer, okay? It says, Dear Lord, I am daring to say, in the presence of my old enemies, and just name them, just quickly under your breath. Failure, weakness, want, lack of opportunity, lack of knowledge, lack of strong friends, and a thousand other things. I dare to say that God is my ability. I cannot be put to shame. And I'm greater than my enemies. Now give him an offering. Just a thanks. Just worship him. Clap if you want. Just lift your voice up. Thank him for who he is. For he's the God of all creation. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say one more thing while you're standing. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says every sickness and every disease is under the curse of the law. But in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for me. So therefore, we confess that any sickness that is on our body is under the curse, for Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from that sickness. Same thing with poverty. Poverty is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28. But according to Galatians chapter 3:13, it says that Christ has redeemed me, bought me back, pulled out, and set me free from the curse of the law. So therefore, I am free, I am redeemed from that curse of the law of poverty in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word.
Thank you.
We hold your word up, O God. We hold your word up.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Mike. Lord Jesus. Let's just take a few moments to just meditate on the Lord and the word that has been brought to us this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would go deep right now. And Lord, I know, and I think I can speak pretty confidently in saying that every single one of us here in this place is dealing with something. Whether it be in the body, in terms of a sickness, a wound, an injury, or even in the pocketbook, the financial realm. Lord, I really believe that we sin against you by not standing. You as our Lord and Savior, you will expect and desire and require more from us. Hallelujah. So Spirit, minister to us for a few minutes. Show us the specific areas in which we can lay hold of, even this morning, the faith that we need to acquire what you've done for us.